In re the marriage of blank.
Good morning, Your Honors. Thank you. My name is Nelson Berry. I represent the Amanda Blank, the appellant in this matter, and I'd like to reserve 4 minutes. RCW 26.19.090, parentheses 5, parentheses close, provides, the court shall not order the payment of post-secondary educational expenses beyond the child's 23rd birthday, except for exceptional circumstances such as mental, physical, or emotional disabilities. This is a case of first impression. No court has yet construed what the language except for exceptional circumstances such as mental, physical, or emotional disabilities means, and it is the court's task to discern what the legislature intended.
Before you launch into that argument,
yes.
On the standard of review,
yes.
What's your position about the standard of review? Is it that the court abused its discretion because the court based its decision on an erroneous interpretation of the law?
Yes. Okay. And the question is, what does that language mean? Now, the court below...
Well,
don't
we have to look also at 26.19.090 and... the factors the court should consider in determining whether to order post-secondary? I mean, do you want us just
not
to
in
look
this instance? Because that issue had already been determined, actually, by agreement of the parties in the very first order of child support at the inception of these dissolution proceedings, where the parties had agreed that they would be contributing to post-secondary support. So that was not even an issue that the court was permitted to consider at this point, because there was no effort to modify the obligation to provide post-secondary support.
So your position is that once it's been identified that there's a mental, physical, or emotional disability, the court is required to?
No, that's not my position.
Okay, so there's still discretion.
Absolutely, and let me I want to talk about first what the lower court did, and then why I think that that's inconsistent, and why I think the parameters should be. The lower court focused on the disabilities themselves and said that, and according to the lower court's interpretation, the disability itself necessarily had to be uncommon, rare, something like that. I think that that's an impossible standard for lower courts to apply. And what does it really mean? That the child has to be on an orphan drug before this before this exception applies? Or that if a child is stricken with bubonic plague, that the court's going to go look at some registry to see how many other kids have been stricken with bubonic plague to determine whether it's rare or uncommon enough? I don't think that that's what the legislature intended, and I submit that the court's constrictive, narrow interpretation is inconsistent with an unbroken line of cases that support a broad, liberal construction of child support statutes to affect the legislative purpose. And we see that in the Childers case, which quotes extensively from the SDEB case, a 1926 case, where the court talks about the importance of every child in this state having a college education. And I submit the words I submit that the importance of a college education is even more important today than it was 85 years ago when the Supreme Court wrote the Esteb case. So, what are the parameters? What do I submit the correct interpretation of this statute should be? Well, when the court says exceptional except so forth, I think what the court means is that it's the exception, it's not the rule. This isn't the case in every case. And also, but I think, and it's clear that the legislature wanted and intended trial courts or lower courts to have discretion to extend the obligation to pay post-secondary support in the appropriate cases. So what does it mean? I submit that what it means is that there must be a nexus between the mental, physical, and emotional disability that's found by the court and the reason why the child is not progressing as rapidly as his peers or other children. There must be a nexus. So, for example, Let's assume for a moment that a person's legs have been amputated. Well, that may or may not be a reason why the child hasn't progressed beyond his 23rd, he hasn't completed his education beyond his 23rd year. Likewise, in this case, it's undisputed that this child had ADHD, was suffering from depression. Not every child that has ADHD is going to progress more slowly than his peers. There are many kids who get the proper medication and it's no longer really a problem. In this case, we have a psychologist who examined this child and found that it was a problem. This was slowing the child's ability to progress. This was impairing his ability to move forward as quickly as his other kids. So the point is that, and I think that this is the most important thing, is that there must be a nexus. And it must be something that's not, you know, it's not like I decided to take a couple of years off and go find myself while traveling through Europe. That's not the reason that, that's not a reason that would be permitted. But in this case, that's not what we have. We have a child who clearly has was psychologically diagnosed. There's no dispute about it. He has these learning disabilities. It slows his progress. He requires 503 accommodations to get through school. And so I think that this is exactly the kind of child that the legislature intended to help. And I ask the court to construe it likewise in order to, again, be consistent with our statutes that recognize the importance of child support, recognize the importance of post-secondary education, and give Adam Blank an opportunity to complete it. And I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Stephen Fisher on behalf of Russell Blank. And as we know, we're dealing with 2619-0905, and in looking at that statute, and this is exactly what the trial court did, the trial court said, shall not, and that's what the statute says, shall not order post-secondary educational support for a child except under exceptional circumstances. And in dealing with exceptional circumstances, we look at the reality of what that means. And
well, the statute says mental disability, so why didn't you have an exceptional circumstance?
Well, because the mental disability, and this is where we get into the discretionary issue of the trial court. Understand that this trial court was involved in this case for approximately over 2 years, in fact had addressed this matter, the post-secondary educational support issues, at trial and subsequent motions. So if we're talking about a mental disability, what is a disability then? What the court said is Adam Blank had 5 years to complete an AA degree. Apparently he completed it during that five-year period of time at the time of the motion. Adam Blank was 23 years and 4 months, and what the court said was that under the circumstances, is if it had looked at the parameters as Your Honor had indicated in 020, then more likely than not, she would not have gone forward and said that any other educational schooling would be appropriate for Adam Blank. Based upon the record that was before the court, his inadequate schooling or ability to perform at Pierce College. So this court, meaning the trial court, had information, and if we're going to take discretion away from the trial court, we're creating a dangerous precedent here. And to say what is a disability means someone who is unable to function within the parameters of normal society. And that is not what we have here. And in fact, the trial court addressed the fact that she had observed Adam Blank throughout this entire proceeding and basically said enough is enough under the circumstances because people with AA degrees are able to function in the real world also. So there is no definition of disability, and I disagree that this is a mental disability. And in fact, what we have is a situation certain children, and in this case an adult, are capable of being in the educational process. This is someone who was not there, but was allowed through the order that was presented back 20 years ago to proceed in this fashion. Did he eventually get his AA degree? Yes, and the court found that that was sufficient. So if we're going to look at legislative intent, the statute specifically says shall not order beyond age 23. And if you look at exceptional circumstances, that is defined as an extraordinary situation, extremely unusual and rare. And that is what the court was looking at. This is not an extraordinary or rare situation. People with ADHD do perform in society, and they are able to perform based upon having obtained an AA degree, and the court determined that that was appropriate under the circumstances. So if we look at the statute, we have to be aware that if we are going to open the door and take the discretion away from, in this case, a trial court that had heard years of motions and in actuality a trial, we are creating a dangerous precedent as it relates to this statute. Because then we're in a situation, and I understand education. Obviously, I have an education. My children have a college education. But on the other side of the coin, are we going to open the door where every time that a trial judge turns around and has to address post-secondary educational support and at age or after age 23, and a party comes in and says, oh, by the way, I have some type of learning disability, and therefore I'm entitled to post-secondary educational support until I'm 35. This court should not take the power away from the trial court to address these issues based upon the evidence that is before that court. And that's why the blank case itself is unusual, because it's more than just a motion that was filed. This was a situation where the trial court judge had truly dealt with this case for over 2 years and was fully aware of the circumstances of all the parties and the children involved, and made an appropriate discretionary decision which is allowed pursuant to the statute. Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. Contrary to the argument of opposing counsel, this is not a case where we are trying to take away the court's discretion. This is a case where we're asking the Court of Appeals to give the lower courts guidance in how to exercise that discretion. And in fact, Judge Martin lamented repeatedly, and you see it in the record, is that she does not have any guidance from the Court of Appeals about how to construe this statute. That was her problem. But I submit that the interpretation that she elected to follow in this case is completely inconsistent with Washington law, court law, as we've done throughout all of these things. Because, again, how does the lower court go about determining whether a condition is sufficiently rare or necessarily uncommon to warrant an extension of post-secondary support? How would the court exercise that discretion? As I said, I mean, is it going to look on a registry to see if somebody has enough diseases or whatever? I submit that it is a far more consistent reading and consistent with our legislative history to interpret it as I have suggested, namely that the mental, physical, or emotional disability must have a nexus with the reason why the child is not progressing as rapidly as his peers. And it must be some, and contrary to counsel, as I indicate on page 7 of my brief in the footnote, ADHD
is it meets the diagnostic criteria for health impaired under federal statutes and so forth and so on. This is a child that has 504 accommodations. So you have a situation where our courts and our legislature have already recognized that this is a condition, a disability, if you will, and it doesn't mean that you're incapable of functioning, but it's a disability that warrants accommodation in terms of making sure that our children get the best education that they can. And I want to talk a little bit about Adam Blank. I mean, you see, for example, even in his high school teachers, that they say that they recognize that Adam struggles. And they say things like, here's one of his high school teachers, in all my years in the teaching profession, I have never witnessed a young man who has suffered such tremendous trauma as he has and turn around to make him come back the way he has. I am extremely proud of Adam. He continues to need time extensions, but they are worth the wait because of the quality he produces. Currently in his senior year, Adam has enrolled in my creative writing course. Adam continues to demonstrate a love for learning. He accepts all constructive criticism. He is patient with himself. He is not afraid to ask questions and seek resources that aid him with his work. If I could describe Adam in one word, it would have to be determined. After all, last year, he received the President's Award in recognition of academic achievement. And you see this with every one of his professors. Yes, they know that Adam struggles. And indeed, no surprise here, the legislature, in enacting this statute, I submit, recognized that there were going to be children who were going to be struggling. Surprise, surprise. So yes, he struggles. But Adam is a kid that if he has to do something 10 times to do it right, he does it 20 times. And he does it with a glad heart as he approaches that battle. And I submit that this is exactly the kind of child that the legislature had in mind when it said, yes, post-secondary support is going to be extended if we have children like Adam Blank. And indeed, as I pointed out, you see this with every one of his teachers, how they applaud and praise him for his hard work and so forth and so on. And I submit, if this statute wasn't intended for a kid like Adam Blank, who was it intended for? So I would urge the court, yes, this kid is determined, but he needs financial assistance from his father. And also, let me point this out, too. This is a bad ruling in this case. I wish we had appealed it. Unfortunately, we didn't, so it is the law of this case. But any time Adam has to repeat a class, his mom bears the entire expense of that repeated class. The father doesn't even have to share in it. Now, again, I think that that's a bad rule. I don't think it should stay the law, but it's the law of this case because the mother didn't appeal it. So again, there's not that much burden on the father. Thank you.